Good morning.
Good morning, teacher.
Are you ready to study? I'm Paul Baldeck III, as you know, but for those out there, it's 5/8/2022. This is an adult Sunday school class, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad yous are here. It wouldn't be very fun if I was the only just teaching the seats. So today, I'm teaching through, did I say the date? It's 5/8/2022. I'm teaching through the book Ephesians. Today we're just going to deal with Ephesians 2:17. It's a very important scripture to that verse to understand in its context, or it can be very confusing. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Without you, none of us wouldn't be here if we didn't have mothers. And to me, a good mother's love is the closest, to God's loves infinitely and unconditionally, but mothers sort of have that reflection. So I salute yous for all you went through. To the mothers, to the stepmothers, to the, what do you call it? Pet mothers. Stepmothers, fathers that are doing mother and father's job. So just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the celebration of Mother's Day. May we appreciate them all year round. But I think it's nice to have a day to really honor them and to show them. Maybe taking them out for lunch or giving them a beautiful present. And just honor them for their sacrifices they made. They can't even punch out. They're 24/7 a mother. And so we thank you for them. And we thank you for this opportunity to come together and assemble once again in a country that so far we have our freedom. And we pray for our leaders, for their salvation and come to the knowledge of the truth. And just to help them to make good decisions that we might live in peace, continue in our freedom so we can share the gospel freely. And help us to redeem our time while we're here, Father. Because we know your son could come back at any time, or maybe we're going to leave this world. We don't know. So help us to value the time you've given us here. I pray your Holy Spirit, as I teach this morning and the pastor preaches and teaches at a church service, that your Holy Spirit will just illumine minds, that he would empower us in a mighty way to teach your word rightly divided, accurately and clearly, and that we would give the sense that everyone here and those listening or watching through video would leave and be revived in their hearts. And we would just be refocused once again on our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything that's done here, we give Jesus Christ and you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So let's go to, honey, can you bring my water up, please? Ephesians 2:17. I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to read it in context, because I want to show you why it's so important not to take a verse out of its context. That's what, covenant theologians, reform, they'll take this verse out of its context, especially covenant theologians or those who believe in covenant theology. And they'll say there's always been only one gospel, and that's not correct. And if you look at this verse in its context, you'll see what Paul's talking about. So let's just read the verse first, Ephesians 2:17. Okay, Ephesians 2:17. Now this is speaking about Christ, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, and to them that were nigh. Now, if you just look at this verse, can be kind of confusing for someone who hasn't been understood the importance of rightly dividing God's word yet. And it looks like when Christ came, he reached out to the Gentiles and through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But we'll see that's clearly not true according to the context. I'll wait a second. Okie doke. All right, so again, let's read the verse. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Thank you. Thank you. Now, let's back up for context and read verses 13 to 17. And you'll see this can't be, and we'll look back at through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, when Christ was ministering to Israel, was he preaching the gospel to the Gentiles? Especially, was he teaching the gospel of the grace of God? So let's read verses 13 to 17. And right away, we see a switch. But now, how do you rightly divide the word? Time passed, but now, that's a dispensation of grace we live in. Things to come, them are things that will happen after the rapture. So let's start in 13. So there's been a change. What?
Which chapter?
Ephesians 2, starting in 13. Our verse is verse 17, but I want to show it in context. But now, see, there's been a change. In Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off, who's that? The Gentiles. The Gentile nations are made nigh by the blood of Christ. So individual Gentiles now who trust in Christ, that he shed their blood, his blood for them, and individual Jews, Jewish people too, they're saved. For he is our peace, who has made both one. So in the body of Christ, there's what? No distinction between Jew and Gentile. Remember that. Because when we go back to Matthew, you'll see there was still a distinction. And has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. So we learn what that was, right? It was first circumcision that God gave to Abraham, the covenant of circumcision, and also the law came in, I think it's 430 years later, and it fortified that wall of separation between Jew and Gentiles. So, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, so that can be one of two things. It can be who we were in Adam, or it could be referring to the law. The law was against us, you know. It said do, but you got to do it perfect. You know, and the law, Paul says, is what? The knowledge of sin, right? All it could do is show you you're a sinner, but it couldn't cleanse you. You need the blood of Christ to cleanse you, right? It's supposed to show you a sinner their condition, so they'll come to Christ for his provision. So having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, says to make in himself of twain, so to one new man, so making peace. So did this happen in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John during Christ's early ministry? This is talking about at the cross, right? And we found out that in verse 16, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. See, Jew and Gentile, individuals. God's not dealing with nations today. He's dealing with individuals. Under God in one body by the cross. So it was by the cross, having slain enmity therefore. So do you notice it didn't say this was known at the cross? God did it by the cross, but it's not known till Paul's telling us about it. Our apostle, right? Now, we're at the verse. And came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. So we see this wasn't during Christ's early ministry as he preached the kingdom gospel to Israel. Let's go to Matthew 10, 5 to 7. Matthew chapter 10, verse 5 through 7. I'll give you a sec to get there. These 12 Jesus sent forth, so his kingdom apostles, and commanding them, saying, go not unto the way of the Gentiles. You getting that? Amen. That's clear, right? And into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven that is at hand. That's the kingdom gospel. See, that's a different gospel than the grace of God that Christ from heaven gave Paul. Right? And so what's he telling them? Don't go to the Gentiles. So when you were thinking of that verse in Ephesians, when Christ came and preached, well, it sure wasn't back here. Because he said, don't go to the Gentiles back then. Now, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he sent those kingdom apostles. It was the same kingdom message with what? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the Holy Spirit. Nothing changed. And it had to be what? Israel first, right? Look in, we're not going to go there. Acts, for your notes, Acts chapter 1. Go in all the world, beginning in Israel, then Judea, then Samaria, then all parts of the world. So see, there was still a distinction. It had to be Israel first. But did Israel, overall, their leaders and most of the individuals in their nation, did they trust that kingdom message? What did they have to believe? Christ was their Messiah. He was their king. They had to sell everything they had. Come follow Christ. They had to keep the law. Today we find out through Paul what? Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under law, you're under grace. So we see back here, this isn't Christ preaching to the Gentiles, right? This is time past. But what did Paul say in Ephesians chapter 2? But now, see, that was during the dispensation of grace. Go to Matthew 15:24. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. These sticky pages. So he told them, don't go to the Gentiles, right? But go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Look what he says. And he answered and said, because remember, a Gentile woman was coming because her daughter was possessed by a demon and coming and asking Christ, right, for help. And he answered and said, and so his disciples, go to the verse above it. And he answered her, not a word. So Christ didn't even say nothing to her when she's coming to him and trying to get a blessing from him. But he answered not a word, and his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, because she's driving us crazy, for she crieth after us. And what did he say? But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, right? See, it had to be Israel first in that program. To Israel's rise, then the Gentiles would get blessed. But what did we learn from Paul? It's not through their rise, but through their fall, through their temporarily. I always tell people temporarily setting aside that program, that kingdom gospel. Because after the rapture, God brought in a parenthesis. Paul calls the secret, right? The dispensation of grace. It was never known before. It was hidden in the heart of God, unsearchable in time past. I like what Dave said, that the Trinity, the Godhead, had a meeting and eternity past. And God kept the secret. They decided that they were going to form the body of Christ, bring in the dispensation of grace. And they didn't let that known. That wasn't known till Paul. Right? Praise God that we understand that. So the Bible isn't confusing, because if not, look at James, who writes to the 12 tribes of the dispersion, not to the body of Christ. What did he say? Faith without works is dead. What's Paul say? If it's grace, it ain't works. If it's works, it ain't grace. That sounds like two different contradictory messages, and many people are confused, and that's in the back of their head. And then it makes them doubt with the eternal security. But when you learn to rightly divide the word, it ain't confusing. It's like that veil be taken away. You learn that we're not under law, we're under grace. James is writing to one particular group, the 12 tribes of Israel, of the 12 tribes of the dispersion. Paul's writing to the body of Christ, where there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile. Boy, that's freeing, ain't it? I remember reading when Christ, when I was a Pentecostal, when Christ says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you're in trouble, right? He didn't say you're in trouble, but, my translation. That destroyed me, because I said, God, I'm not even a good Christian. How am I going to be my righteousness? See, these dudes would fast twice a week. They did this, they did that. And that's what law is supposed to do. It's supposed to destroy you. Paul said the law isn't for the righteous, right? 1 Timothy. But for the unrighteous. And that's exactly what it's supposed to do. Shed light, especially the moral religious person that thinks I'm a good person. Ask somebody moral or religious, are you going to heaven? And if they're real proud, they'll say, well, yeah, of course. Why? Well, because God knows I've tried to be good. I follow my churches. I've been a good whatever denomination you want to call it. I've been a good Catholic. I've been a good Methodist. There used to be an old song I remember by, is it the Miracles? No. That about old Buddha. Yeah, it's like, I forgot how it went, but it was like, it ain't about a Methodist, a Protestant, a Catholic, a Baptist, or whatever. It's about, have you trusted the gospel that saves today? That's why we rightly divide the word, because you think it ain't practical. People go, yeah, it's cool, it helps me. But it's not practical in my Christian living. You want to bet? Because it'll show you what the gospel is today that you evangelize and you share with the lost. It's very practical. My old pastor used to say, doctrine is the things life is made up of. And he quoted Jesus where he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded from the mouth of God. So, now let's look at Moses, God's spokesman to the nation Israel. Go back to Exodus chapter 4, second book in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 4. I don't got the pew Bible, so I can't tell you what page. I loved when the pastor said somebody had, I think, written in or something, oh, I want one of them pew Bibles. I thought it was a type of a Bible. Okay, Exodus chapter 4, 10 to 12. Then we're going to go 15 and 16, and then somewhere else. So 10 to 12. And Moses said unto the Lord, Moses is making excuses why, he's kind of like us, why we don't go out and get into ministry. And Moses said unto the Lord, Oh, my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. He probably stuttered. I used to stutter when I was a kid. And the Lord said unto him, Who has made man's mouth? Or who has made it the dumb or deaf, or the seeing or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth. God would put his words in Moses' mouth and teach thee what to say. Now go to verse 15 and 16. And thou shalt speak unto him, talking about Aaron now, because he, again, he's using that excuse. I'm not eloquent in speech. Remember, Paul wasn't either, right? Which makes me feel really good. They used to accuse him, his speech is contemptible. Well, you know, like some people might not like my teaching or when I preach because I'm from the hood and I like to talk a little slang, you know. And now the dudes at Cook County Jail when I ministered there, they loved it because they could relate. You know, because I grew up in the hood with rats, roaches, gangs, drugs, and, you know. So anyway, it says, what did I say, verses 15 to 16. And thou shalt speak unto him and put words in his mouth. So Aaron's. So Moses will speak to Aaron. And I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be. Let me read again. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be, even he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God. So we see Moses was God's spokesman, right? And who's he send them to? Israel. Go to verse 28 through 31. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And if you notice, when dealing with law or the kingdom program, or when you see water baptism in effect, there's always signs and wonders associated with it. With the gospel of grace, there are no signs and wonders. We live by faith and not by sight. But the Jews demanded signs, didn't they? Because God brought them up on signs. Remember when he brought them out of Israel? Remember all the signs and wonders and plagues that parted the Red Sea? And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel, verse 29, now verse 30. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel and that he had looked upon their afflictions, when they bowed their heads and worshiped. See, when you understand the word of God, when God's word and his spirit touches you, you just want to worship God. In view of God's, see, that's transdispensational. In view of God's mercies, right? Offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is your reasonable but act of divine worship, service. That's what worship is. But we see God is giving Moses words, right? His words. Now, in Christ's heavenly ministry, because now what? He died, he buried, he was buried, and he rose, and all that according to the scriptures. He ascended, he's glorified, sitting at the right hand of the Father, right? And authority. And guess what? He ain't alone. We're seated with him. See, we're in union with him as head of the body, right? And so in Christ's heavenly ministry, as head of the body of Christ, Paul is God's spokesman to the body of Christ. Paul's the one unique apostle that God in Christ chose to reveal grace through. Paul said he was saved as a pattern, right? Ephesians, or 1 Timothy 1, I think verse 16. It's 15 or 16. I got to memorize that because I keep saying that 15 or 16. What is it, Boyd? Here, I'll look. We're done back there. Let's look at that. First Timothy. And with my old brain, yeah, I'll probably still have to memorize it. It's 16, actually, but you could go to 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinner, of who I am chief. He was in the lead. He was Jew and Gentile, perfect pattern, right? He was Christ's worst enemy, attacking, dragging those kingdom believers to jail. They were being killed. Didn't matter you're a mother, a father. If it was Mother's Day, Paul would have dragged you probably just because it was Mother's Day. Because he said he was a blasphemer. He had smoke coming out of his nostrils. That's a legalist. They hate grace. And he said, howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first. You see, there's been a change. What happened in Paul first? Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering. He saved them by grace, right? Completely by grace. What did Paul deserve? Yeah, for Christ just to blow them, smoke them, right? Burn them up. But what did he do? He dispenses grace. Shows them unconditional love, mercy, right? So in me first, Christ might show forth all longsuffering. For a pattern, Paul's our pattern, for to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Paul's the first person in the body of Christ, and he was saved as a pattern, by grace through faith, not of himself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's how you get saved today, by believing that Christ died for your sins personally, right? According to the scriptures, he was buried. And according to the scriptures, he rose in 3 days. That's how you get saved today. See how important it is to rightly divide the word? Or you'll be preaching the kingdom gospel. And most of them that preach that, they ain't following it. They ain't selling everything they got. You get a few that do. You know, there's a ministry called Cornerstone. I don't know if any old guys and gals remember that. They kind of had a commune. But that didn't work out too good because God ain't working that way today. It was working out good then, right? Back then. They sold everything they had. They laid it at the apostles' feet until Israel kept rejecting and rejecting their leaders. And then you see that program starting to phase out. They started then getting problems amongst themselves. Okay. So let's go to... So in Christ's heavenly ministry, as head of the body of Christ, Paul is Christ's spokesman. Paul is the one unique apostle to the body of Christ. Go to Romans 11, 30 to 33. Romans chapter 11. See if I can get in all my verses. Romans 11, 30 to 33. Nice to hear those pages. You know, when I go to the rehab center on the first Sunday, me and Mary go, and then I go on the first Wednesday of every month, hardly nobody brings their Bible, and I tell them, bring your Bibles, bring pencil and paper and notes, and research this stuff on your own. Study. I try and encourage them, just like you. You know, I say, if we've been lazy in Bible study, okay, we've been lazy. Do we got to keep, if we got a bad habit, do we got to keep doing a bad habit? No, you replace a bad habit with the good habit, right? And then that's how you start growing. So here, for, look at words, that's so important. For as ye in time passed, you see that? Time passed. And then what? But now things have come. That's how you rightly divide the word. For as ye in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. It's talking about Israel as a nation. Even so, have these also now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. So, once the dispensation of grace is over, God's going to deal with them again, the nation Israel. He'll start back his prophetic clock. We live in a secret period, right? Paul calls the sacred secret the mystery. Once that age, the dispensation of grace is done, God's bam, right back in that program. The next thing, when Israel killed their Messiah and they reject the Holy Spirit because they rejected the Father, they reject the Son, right? Will not have him rule over us. Then they reject the Holy Spirit. They blaspheme the Holy Spirit. The next thing on their agenda is what Stephen saw. He looked up and he said, I see the Son of Man standing. You know what the commentaries say? Oh, he was going to welcome Stephen. No. If you look at Scripture, when the Lord stands, it's in judgment. And that will happen. Read in the book of Revelations when he comes back. And he tramples out the wrath, the winepress of God's wrath. Praise God we live in the dispensation of grace, huh? The best dispensation I could think of. So, he says, for God has concluded them all in unbelief. See, Jew, Gentile, all nations. Why? That he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. See, we could have never imagined what God would do. Satan couldn't get it. God just kept that secret, boy. And Satan, just like a ugly little puppy, carrying out God's will. He says, I'll destroy Christ. I'll kill him. Then he's not going to be able to bring in that program. And I'll corrupt Israel so much, God can never save him and use him. Oh, God had a secret. And Paul explains what God fully accomplished at the cross. Amen. So we find out his ways how? Through Paul, right? Go to Romans 15. 15 and 16. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me. What? Of God. Who is the grace given? The dispensation of grace to Paul for the Gentiles. That I should be, you notice he didn't say a minister, the minister. He is the apostle to the Gentiles, of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. So who is Christ's spokesman? The apostle Paul to the body of Christ. He's Christ's spokesman for today. Ministering what? The gospel of God, that good news. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Go to 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 7. You know, in time past, before Paul, Isaiah said that he's prophesying about Christ, I think in Isaiah 53, and he said he'd die for the sins of my people. Who was Isaiah's people? The Jews. See, in time past, it was never revealed that God, through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, is going to save people just through what Christ accomplished through his finished work. But here, he says in verse, where we at? Chapter 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men, not just Isaiah's people, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's God's will. What should be our will? Our desire to reach out to the lost, your friends, your family, your enemies with the gospel so they can get saved. And then what? Bring them up in sound grace doctrine, what you're here learning and studying on your own. Build them up in the faith, in the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between man and God, mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. This was known in time past, who gave himself a ransom for all, not just the Jew. To what? To be testified in due time. Who's the due time testifier? Paul. Where I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Go to Titus 1, 1 to 3. Titus 1, 1 to 3. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. When you understand the truth, it's going to produce godliness in you if you appropriate that truth in your life and you apply them truths. And the hope of eternal life, that isn't I hope I win the lottery. Maybe I'll win the lottery. No, confident expectation. When you see Paul usually writing about hope, like the rapture, our blessed hope, that's a confident expectation. So in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's some of that mystery truth, right? That was hidden in the heart and mind of God before the world began, Paul tells us. But has in due times, who's the due time testifier? Paul manifested his word through what? These pages. I'm going to have to start spray painting them or something. Let me read it again. In verse 3, but has in due times manifested his word through preaching what which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Go to first, I'll just tell you. First Corinthians, for your notes, 1 Corinthians 14:37. Paul says, if anyone thinks himself to be spiritual or a prophet, because they had prophets back then when the sign gifts were going on, before God's word got completed. He says, let them acknowledge, I, who? Paul. I give you the commands of Christ. Where do we find our commands today in the dispensation of grace? Through Paul's epistles, Romans through Philemon, right? We find our promises. Because if you try and claim a promise that Christ gave, like, you know, and I used to be one, so I'm not putting them down. I love Pentecostals and Charismatics. But they're trying to do what Christ promised his apostles. He gave them power. Every believer didn't have power. Every believer didn't even speak in tongues back then. What are they teaching? seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what they call. What's the real baptism of the Holy Spirit? We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. The moment you believe, Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, believe the gospel that Christ gave Paul, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You don't tarry for him. But they're trying to live, fake it till they make it, trying to live in time past. Let's go back to Pentecost. Let's go on to Ephesians and this heavenly truth for the body of Christ today, right? People waste their lives trying to do that stuff. God's not working what he did in time past. He's working in a special way through the Holy Spirit, but it's inwardly in us, empowering us to live out Christ in us, expressing his truth, his life and his grace and God's love through us. You talking about meaning and purpose, man? You know how a lot of people get sucked into cults and these movements where you'll see somebody, you know, sometime with join like a radical Muslim sect and they join, they go bomb somebody because they ain't got no meaning and purpose. What's life about? Here. They give it to them. Serving Allah. Making justice. Kill people for your faith. Christians give up their lives for their faith. We don't go kill people. We love them. We love our enemies. We don't chop their heads off. Some rightly dividers try to beat up people who don't know as much about the Bible as they do. They're rude. And they turn people off. That's why we got to be long-suffering, patient. When you're sharing, like somebody who's never heard of rightly dividing, never heard of the mystery, don't try and give it to them. You know, they're going to be one eyeball shooting one way. You know, what are you talking about? I've seen it happen here. Somebody come up and trying to share too much, and you just see the person's eyes. Like, what are you talking? And they never came back. Give them a little bit at a time. My old pastor said, you know, understanding grace is sort of like a puzzle. You might understand the finale of the cross first, and you get that straight. And then justification by faith through grace through the blood of Christ, right? Now I'm starting to see a little clearer of a picture, but it's not quite there yet. Then I started learning how to rightly divide the word. Oh, bah, 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 that's 20 pieces. Now I understand the mystery. You're seeing the whole picture. See, so be gentle. Take your time. Sure, I don't... When people talk about water baptism and stuff, we know there's only one baptism today, right? And that's... We're baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, 4 to 6, there's one baptism. There it is. So I know water baptism is out of God's will today. But churches are... I was by my sisters, and they were doing the church where they go to. The assistant, one of the pastors, assistant pastor, was doing baptisms, following Christ in baptism. You know, and it's sad, you know, because when you rightly divide the word, you don't get thrown around by every wind of doctrine that blows through the churches, right? Let's go to, we already did everything here, right? Colossians 1, 25 and 26. Praise the Lord, I'm maybe going to get in my verses. I shouldn't say none yet. I haven't finished. Colossians chapter 1, verse 25 and 26. 25 and 26. And just, I'll read this to you. Because Paul talked about this in Ephesians, right, where we're at. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, the law, that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. So go to, see, Paul explains all this. James didn't write that. John didn't write that. First, Second Peter didn't write that, right? It's only Paul who Christ chose to reveal it. Now, they might have, like Peter was for a while at by the church in Antioch, right, where he started playing the hypocrite. Maybe he learned some things from Paul. But what did he say? Because Christ taught him the kingdom program, right? Program under law. And he writes that brother Paul, who's a lot of things he says that are hard to understand. He didn't say impossible. But Peter wasn't given to the instructions for the body of Christ, writing about the dispensation of grace. He learned some things from Paul, but it was confusing to him. Just like a lot of believers today. They're confused because they don't rightly divide the word. So Colossians 1, 25 and 26. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God. God had a dispensation. He kept secret since before the world began. He never revealed it until Paul. Not through Genesis, not through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, not early Acts. It's not till Acts 9. And then Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12, I believe, 1, how come the visions and revelation? So he got it over a period of time. But by the time the end of the book Acts, and he writes his prison epistles, he's got it all. And we got it all. Praise God. Amen. You can study it. You can know it. You can share it. And it's wonderful when you start growing in grace. And like I said, we don't really understand grace until grace grasps our heart. And then you start applying it in your own life. And you start growing. And people see it. Like my best friend, Frank. When I started understanding grace, because he saw me before, I would keep messing up and messing up. And I started growing. I had this joy. Like joy like a fountain, peace like a river. And you know what? He asked me, hey, you want to do a Bible study with me? I'm like, yeah. You know what started from there? Another bigger Bible study with other people, and then we started a church from two Bible studies. That's what God can do if you're available. He's not looking for your abilities. You go, I ain't got much ability. Good. Because you'll be more dependent on Christ than you. And boy, God can do exceedingly and abundantly. Young people, man, you're hearing sound grace doctrine. I didn't have that. I wish I would have. But you know what? God works all things for our good, right? Maybe that's why I appreciate grace so much, because I was under spiritual abuse and legalism. And so when you understand grace and it frees you from them bondages of performance and religion, you appreciate it and you'll stand for it. You'll fight for it, but you speak the truth in love. Don't be mean. So he says, wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me, who? Paul, for you, who? The body of Christ. He's writing the members of the body of Christ. To fulfill, and that word in the Greek means complete, the word of God. Even the mystery, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now, you see, there's a change with Paul when he got saved, is made manifest to the saints. Go to Ephesians 3, 1 to 3. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, who, Paul, for who? You, the body of Christ. How that by revelation, remember Paul said, I'll come to visions and revelations, but now he had it all. He made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. You notice Christ reveals it directly to Paul, then the Holy Spirit helps the apostles and the prophets, that office that was still going on back then. But when they died out, and when the Word of God was completed, that office, when they died, it was that office died out. There's a new movement called the New Apostolic Reformation. It's a terrible thing. They're saying God's bringing back the office of prophet and apostles. No, he ain't. And of course, you can buy their course to become a prophet. All right. Let's go to Ephesians 3, 8 through 12, and I'll say something, we'll end. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, see, Paul's very humble when he talks about his person, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles? See, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now it's unfolded. We understand our riches in Christ. Ephesians 1, 3, right? You're blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. You're complete in Christ. Colossians 2, 10. And to make all men see what is the fellowship, and that can be translated dispensation, of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, under the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So that can be those evil principalities and powers. We remind them of where they're going. We remind them and Satan of God's wisdom and how wise he was. He defeated Satan by just keeping a little secret from him. Oh, Satan's real smart. He might be smarter than us. We're no match for his deceptiveness. That's why you need to know this Word of God and know what armor you have. Put it on. God's given it indestructible armor. And he says, and also, we make an impact in the heavenly places with angels. They learn from us. I bet you when Dave was here, they learned a lot. I was thinking about that. I was listening to one of his CDs, and I'm thinking, Dave was such an intricate teacher, and I bet you angels just sometime hung around to learn from him. You know? Just like youth would come to Sunday school class. He says, verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him, by Christ's faithfulness. So I'll just read you my last note. So we see it's in Christ's heavenly ministry that he revealed to and preached the abundant, exceeding grace of God, that good news of the mystery, who? Through our Apostle Paul. So again, I hopefully it's been edifying, encouraging to you, and that it encourages you. Get into this Word. Pray for boldness and for God to fill your heart with love for the lost and the saved, and pray that he gives you wisdom how to share with the saved patiently. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, for your Word is so wonderful. We couldn't know any of these things, Father, except you reveal them to us. Thank you for those spiritual riches that we find, that we possess in Christ. And thank you for showing us that we find that in Paul's epistles. Though we do study all the Bible, it's all profitable. But when we rightly divide it, we get the most profit that you designed it to be. And I pray, Father, that what we learned today, looking into your Word, it don't stop just here, but that you work in our lives and that your Word would work in us and energize us to serve you out of love, empowered by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So that's it.